B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 2 o'clock. We've got Sixer basketball. So the Mike Mussinelli Show is off today. Mikey Miss. And, of course, Natalie, who's fighting through a cold. And Tyrone. Everybody's off today for the holiday and the matinee Sixer game. That's coming right your way right here. Sixer basketball. We'll have the pregame show live from Brooklyn. And then the game starts at 3 o'clock. So some good Sixers talk from now until 2:40 when we turn it over to the pregame show. But let's get Curtis up here because Curtis wants to talk about Big Red, who we just heard. What's up, Curtis?
What's up with y'all? I want to talk about Big Red, man.
No, man.
I hope Big Red get the ring, man. He deserve it. Because people don't understand. When he was with Philadelphia, there was only two coaches that had better records. That was Tony Dungy and Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're right on, brother.
And he went through a lot. Lost his son, hey, all that, man.
I know.
And he deserved one. And my catchphrase is, bad boys are coming for you. I went to see that this weekend. It made $60 million.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
It was awesome.
Yeah?
It was awesome. It was definitely awesome, man.
All right. You can pass it off nice, man. You got to give us a movie every time you call.
I got you.
All right, brother. Take it easy, Curtis. The bad boys. In or out?
I haven't seen the first one yet, so I would have to see the first one first.
There's been two, I think two, right?
This is like the second one came out, right? The third one?
I think it's the third one. I think I saw the first two.
I mean, again, I movies, and they escape me.
Yeah, you just are just anti-everything when it comes to that stuff.
One of these days, you're going to compile a list for me. The audience will compile a list for me. You know how they do the AP top 25 poll and the coaches poll?
I have the
Anthony Gargano movie poll.
Listen, but I usually don't get on you though for it.
Oh, you don't?
Because I know it's just not your thing.
But I get it. It's probably frustrating. Oh, man. Remember that line from that movie?
I know. That's the only hole in your game.
Yeah, no, I don't know that.
The only hole in your game is, like, I can't give you a movie. I'm not going to give you a movie line.
Give me a Happy Gilmore movie line. I got you.
All right. So that's the only movie you watched.
Yeah, pretty much. I watched Pet Sematary the other day.
Speaking of Adam Sandler, so he was, when he was promoting Uncut Gems, he had a Trust the Process shirt on.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He had a Sixers Trust Adam Sandler.
That's great.
It's unbelievable. I love it.
You know, I'm seeing him in March. Like, he's going to be down at AC.
What's he doing?
One of his comedy shows. Wife got me tickets for Christmas. And she goes, hey, I know this is totally random, but I know you like his old movies, so. And I watched his Netflix special when he did.
So he is. Will he do a stand up?
Yeah,
or is he going to do a Q&A?
He does stand up. He does like the songs that he writes. I'm like, all right.
I like Adam. I really like Adam.
I'll see it. I'm looking forward to it because I have no idea what to expect. I'm not a big comedy show guy either.
Yeah, I don't go to.
I've never been to a comedy show.
Really?
Really?
Never been to a comedy club.
No, never. I went to the homecoming show at Temple my sophomore year. I just went because everybody else was there. And Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have been more bored.
Really?
So after like 10 minutes, I just like left.
See, it's funny because
I went back and drank.
I'm not much of a comedy guy either. I'm not. Unless they're really good.
Right.
I mean, you know. But I I feel you. I like Adam Sandler, though.
Yeah, so I'm really excited.
I like... It's funny. I'm not a big, huge fan of... some of his work's really... Either I really like it or I don't like it. Now, I will tell you this, though. I do like The Water Boy.
Oh, it's a great movie. I watched it
this
weekend.
You know why I like him? He's a sports guy.
Yes.
He's a true sportsman, Adam Sandler. That's why I love him. He's a talented guy who's really a true sports guy.
He's hit on a couple of sports in his movies.
Here's the thing. He's likable in everything he does. But yes. You like him in every role just a bad, like, he's a likable dude.
It'll be interesting to see. There was one movie where he was a serious actor in a while ago. And he played his...
He's good at it. He was good in the Uncut Gems. He was really good at it.
I'm hearing great things. But there's one movie where his wife in the movie was a victim of 9/11. And, like, it was trying to...
Yeah, he was really... He was
get
real.
Back to life after the...
He was awesome. Yeah,
fantastic job.
He did. He was great. He really was. He was great at it. He was. He was terrific. All right, so coming up, for game purposes, so you know... No Kyrie Irving for Brooklyn. They also have DeAndre Jordan. So, even though the Sixers don't have Joe, they're still depleted. I know it's revenge from the other night, but without Kyrie, without DeAndre Jordan, Horford should have a big night day. Harris should have a big day. They're really small. All they have is Jared Allen. They got no length whatsoever. So you got to win today. It's funny because at some point they needed to put together a stretch. And it's good. You're playing bad teams, right? You play Chicago, play the Knicks. Games are closer than you'd want. But you're playing bad teams. It's time now to put together a streak.
Well, you got to win these bad games, right?
Right, even though
especially on the road tonight.
Right, even though it's Brooklyn, even though you just beat them. And remember that game was a struggle. They pulled away late.
Yep.
So hopefully it gets them out of their funk a little bit. And then again, the Toronto game is going to be a tough game for them. And then Saturday night, Lakers, man, like that's the must see. That's going to be an ABC game. That's the game that will be national TV. All the focus will be on.
Sucks that Joe's not playing, or probably won't be playing that day.
Yeah, I don't
know. It stinks.
Definitely not going to be playing.
But now the Ben Simmons game that day will be heightened.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to expect
LeBron. LeBron going to be here.
Remember LeBron, last time they faced, or it might have been two times ago, LeBron stepped back and told Ben to shoot in the game. He basically motioned for him to shoot, and he never did.
I know. I'm curious to see what his whole take would be. That'd be, because he loves Ben.
He loves him. Work out during the offseason sometimes together. Not as much this past offseason.
He's when he speaks, he's going to speak and be positive. But I would love for him to really break down his game. What LeBron really sees in his game. Let's go to Foster. You're on 97. Oh, we got a break. Excuse me. Let's take a quick TO and then we'll be back. All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. We're going to Sixer basketball. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis, Mikey Miss, and Tyrone and Nat off because of the matinee Sixer game. So we'll be here until 2:40. So we got another 25 minutes to hang with you guys. If you want to chime in at 610-632-0975 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2:21, and we take you up to Sixers basketball. Sixers Nets today. So my man, we always hear the commercial, Bob Means Jobs. My childhood friend, Bob Marino, which is real. That's just not like fake advertising. You're like, well, he's my friend. Hey, that's my good friend. And meanwhile, there's no such thing as that. No, we really are best friends. We grew up, we have the same crowd friends that we've had since we were young kids. And Bob, because Bob and I are doing all the commercial. So he just came in as he's hanging out. You're already turning red. I didn't even go to you yet. Because I was going to make sure you go to, but you are a movie guy. So Bob's a big movie guy. Now, the Tunis is not a movie man.
No.
No. So I'll ask you, Adam Sandler, yay or nay?
Yay.
I like him too.
I thought that would have been.
No. I'm not a big comedy guy, but I like him too. Yeah. And I'm dying to see because Joey, my cousin Joey, who is our my cousin and your friend, he just saw Uncut Gems.
I didn't see that.
So that's with Adam Sandler. It's the basketball movie where he actually plays a jeweler.
Okay.
And he's a crazy gambler. He got caught up. He's got jewels. And it's the backdrop is the Sixers-Celtics game. And Kevin Garnett is in the movie.
Wow. I heard.
KG's Sandler, in the movie.
Sandler could play some ball, too, I heard.
Yes, he could. He can play basketball. He is I always thought he's a true sports guy.
Yeah.
Like, of all actors, he's a sports guy.
Well, Woody Harrelson didn't do a bad job playing both. And you probably don't agree with that.
No, I agree. No, he's good. Yeah. White man can't jump? Yeah, I agree. No, if you're going to go with all-time basketball movies...
That's up there.
No, I agree. And they actually look like they look the part. But, of course, nobody looked the part better than Coach Pete Bell. From Blue Chips, Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte looked like a basketball coach.
But what's the greatest basketball movie of all time?
What are you going to say? Save Pittsburgh?
Fish and Save Pittsburgh, man. Come on.
The Fish, nobody's seen it. Chunis, do you know this? You know about this story?
I've never seen it, but I know
this
Doc's.
Movie?
I know Doc's in it.
You know that? You should go watch it.
Just because of Doc.
Just because of Doc. Like, you, as a Sixer fan, you owe it to yourself to watch The Fish to Save Pittsburgh just because of Julius Erving.
All right. Not to cut it and change the subject, but did you see the SAG Awards last night at all?
I did not.
And the whole Golden Globes?
I didn't see any of it.
How could Pacino and Pesci, not one of them,
I didn't know. They didn't win the other one, right?
Neither one.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt's... Not a bad. I'm not going to knock Brad Pitt. He's a good actor. He's not in the category of Pacino or Pesci, though.
I kind of agree, but they ripped the Irishman keeps getting ripped and ripped and ripped. I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
What'd you think?
And I thought it was good.
Yeah. And what'd you think about
Tarantino?
The Irishman?
Was good. Yeah. I mean, the Irishman was an epic film. But again, it wasn't, I understand when you had, if you remember, Mikey Miss and Joe had a debate, my cousin.
I didn't catch it, but
they had a debate about The Irishman. Mike was like, it's excellent, but it's not epic.
But here's the thing, and I just, with Tuch yesterday, I had the same conversation. Here's the issue with The Irishman. You have to see that in the movie theater. That was designed the way The Godfather was designed to be seen on the big screen, A, and B, it's a 3.5-hour movie. If you're watching that at home on Netflix, you're taking a 15-minute break to get something to eat, the kids are crying, you leave. That, if you go to the movie theater, you're going to watch that whole 3.5 hours at one shot. It's a different experience altogether.
That's interesting that you say, now again, it's such a long movie that... I think it's almost like you would binge watch. Did you ever see it?
I did watch it, yes. I did watch it, but to Bob's point, I didn't realize exactly how long it was because I had to go somewhere later that night. All of a sudden, I'm 2 hours and 45 minutes in, and I look at the time, and I'm like, oh, damn, I got...
Well, that's a good sign that you actually looked.
Oh, yeah.
And you were 2:45
in. Yeah, I didn't stop. I didn't pause. But, all of a sudden, I'm 2:45 in. I'm like, oh, damn, I got to be at my sister's house in 10 minutes. That's 30 minutes away.
But you never felt bored like you had to, I can't take it anymore.
Oh, I loved the movie. It was a fantastic movie.
And see, here you go, right? You appreciate, even though it was an older story, you appreciate.
The art of that movie was fantastic. Yeah, I was locked. I was upset that I had to leave. I almost canceled plans.
Now, this is sacrilege. The next day, coincidentally, my daughter and I went to go see The Godfather 2. It was like the 45th anniversary, and it was playing for a couple days in the movie theater. So the next day, I get to see The Godfather 2.
I never saw it. Obviously, we were young.
Yeah, and by the way, I always loved The Godfather, but till you see that on the big screen, and think about it.
I never saw it.
It came after we were all ready.
But I never saw it.
It was, and I called up your cousin Joe, and I said, that movie, The Irishman, I'm not going to call it The Godfather or The Godfather 2, but it didn't feel like it was way off when I saw them back to back in the
theater.
You're
natural, Bob. People are going, is that Mikey Miss? Where's Mikey Miss at? That's Bob Means Job. That's it. Bob Means Jobs. So he's a childhood friend of mine. You hear the commercials. We're going to do a commercial after the show today. We're on until 2:40 because of MLK Day. It's Sixers basketball coming up on the Fanatic in just about 15 minutes. So we're going to take you up until Sixers basketball. And one of the things about today, by the way, Kyrie Irving is out. So no Kyrie. And if you remember, after the game against the Sixers is when he was interviewed and he ripped his teammates. So, because he's such a space cadet. he's such a goof. So there's no Kyrie today. Sixers got to win. They have to have this streak going. Now, the Chewness is worried. So I'll ask you, Bob, as a longtime Sixer fan, do you have supreme faith or are you concerned?
You know, look, I didn't think they, even with Embiid playing healthy, they were going to be somewhere between 3 and 6. This has given a lot of players a chance to show you what you have. And when he comes back,
three and six seed, you mean?
Yeah, I don't see them being, you see them being anything more than that.
I do,
year.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What if Embiid was here, you'd feel like that? You feel like that now knowing he's not playing for a while?
Yeah, I think they should. I think that they should be, at the end, you still got to be a 2-3 seed. I mean, they're not buried. The good thing is they're not buried yet.
No.
So... you know, I expect them to win. And by the way, I expect them to get to the finals.
I still go to this.
Who beats them? And I don't care what anybody says. Who beats them in a series in the East? You can point out all the flaws you want. But come playoff time, you play defense. They're going to go out a shooter off the bench. They'll get somebody off the bench that can shoot, whether it's J.J. Redick back or somebody else. They're going to get that guy. The bottom line is, put Milwaukee to the side, and I think they match up well against
Milwaukee.
They're
the only team I think can beat Milwaukee.
Because they throw three guys at Giannis. You throw Embiid, who shut him down on Christmas Day. You throw Horford, and you throw Ben. And if you frustrate Giannis, you beat the Bucks. They are built around him. So then we look out. Indiana. Now, I know Indiana beat him twice without Embiid. They're not losing the Indiana series, whether they got Victor Oladipo back or not.
I don't disagree with you about that, but it's getting to that second seed, and you feel pretty strongly about that.
I do. I think they get to a 2-3 seed, but even if they don't, they can't win on the road. Who beats them in a series? Does Miami beat him in the series? Playing a junk defense? I don't think so. Jimmy Butler, one-man show? I don't think they're beating the Sixers. So no Indiana, no Miami, sure as hell no Boston.
Right.
Boston doesn't match up a little bit. The reason why the Sixers are 3-0 against them is they frustrate the hell out of Boston. They're too long. The length bothers the shooters. They're just not big enough to handle the Sixers. And you got Toronto. I just don't think Toronto's got enough firepower to beat them in a series. So there's all this concern and worry, and I think a lot of it is for naught. I think a lot of it is for the whole reason is because you're expecting them to roll through the regular season, and their style is not conducive to that.
I agree with everything you said. It's just getting getting the seed.
Yeah, but don't worry about the seed. Two, three, seed, Bob. Come on, Bob. Play the song, Tunis. We're going to come back. We got one more segment to hang. Cuz Radio with the Tunis and Bob. 97.5 Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Back in for Mikey Miss and the whole crew, Nat, Tyrone. As we're taking up the Sixers basketball. 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's Catter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and cooling job. All right, let's sneak in Ralph. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ralph, hey.
Hey, thank you, sir.
What's up, Ralph?
First time caller. Yes, I just wanted to call about Brett Brown and Ben Simmons. Do you think that Brett Brown... or may I say Ben Simmons. Do you think Ben Simmons is coachable? Because Brett Brown asked him to shoot some threes. They had videos on him over a year ago. They said he was going to come back this year. You're going to be impressed with his three-point videos. And he hasn't really done that. And
well, he has a shot, right? So I think, Ralph, I think the biggest thing with Simmons, I don't think this is a coaching thing, right? I don't think this is if Pat Riley was coaching Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons is shooting threes. I think this is a psychological thing where he's wired himself to be facilitator first and for some reason not to shoot.
Okay. Now, he was on ESPN the other day talking to one of the commentators, Ben mm-hmm. Simmons, after the Bulls game.
Right.
And the commentator asked him, he said, there's a lot of people calling in about your play.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't really care about what the talk shows say. So I think kind of in a way it could be psychological. He doesn't have confidence in taking the three-point shot. But I think if your coach tells you to do something, I think you should listen to him because that's going to set a bad
Ralph,
example to the other players.
Honestly, Ralphie, here's the one thing because I hear this a lot. Know this, brother.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as listen to your coach in the NBA. It's a players' league. Like, like that notion. Listen to your coach. That ends in normally it ends in college, and even now it ends in high school. Like that. That just doesn't exist in the NBA.
Okay, I know Mike Missinelli. I've spoke to him once before on this. Like, I know Mike doesn't like the fact when Ben drives to the rim and then he kicks it back out.
Right.
You know how many points he could actually score?
I'm with you. Yeah, you're right. Listen, I think you're right. Like, what he needs to do is never turn your back to the and look to pass and turn your back to the rim. But I'll tell you, Ralphie, you know, the one good thing I think you could take from it is that you've seen his scoring without Embiid rise during this stretch. And I think he's becoming more aggressive. The only thing is, it takes time with him. I can't tell you.
I think he could be a better player than what he is today if he would take some advice and try to, you know, practice mm-hmm. on some things, the three pointers or trying to finish off a play to the rim instead of kicking it back.
You know what's funny? Yeah, I mean you're right. You know what's funny though? I saw him in practice. He shoots threes. He shoots elbow jumpers. He shoots free throws. You know, I can't tell you why he doesn't take him in the game. I can't tell.
He hasn't improved on the foul line within the last year or so.
I hear you, Ralphie.
But it's just frustrating, you know.
Because, I know.
Everybody was talking about, you know, we're going to see these videos. Everybody's going
to see these videos. The videos are paid.
We don't see it. You know, maybe in practice. That's it.
I hear you, brother.
We're talking practice.
I hear you, brother. I hear you, man. Okay, thank you, Ralphie. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
Take it easy, buddy. People, and it goes back and back and back. Because we've had this conversation. Mike's had this conversation. Every talk show host in the city's had the conversation. NBA people have the conversation. Legler and I talk about it all the time. Why doesn't he shoot? I don't know why. But here's the thing. It's not something that Brett Brown can unlock, like it's a key or like you can start, sit down next to me. Like, that's not going to happen. He's never going to sit him. It's a punishment. He's got to work through whatever it is. I think it's, again, deep rooted. It's a psychological thing he's wired himself to be a facilitator. It's natural for anybody just shoots him up to go bounce, bounce, shot. That's your instinct, right? Basketball's a game of instincts. His instinct is to pass it. That's what's in his mind. It's not even a thinking thing. That's what he's made himself do, which is pass the ball.
You can't understand it because you never missed a shot. I mean,
yeah, right.
Pass was never in your vocabulary, was it?
No. Dude, Bobby and I used to play all the time. We were always playing. We were on the same team.
With Jim from Havertown, too.
He used to play down there. I think all those guys, those old heads, would play down. We'd play down Johnson's Field. Anyway, no, it's a deep-rooted psychological thing that he's wired himself to pass. But we've got another game coming up next. That's right, it's Sixers and Nets coming your way right now. Stay tuned. Pre-game show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Sixers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.